If every word of this book, I'm referring to Scripture, if every word of this book is provided by God, and it is, it is profitable, I mean every single word is profitable and is written for a purpose. And that's where I want to commence here. When we read the Word of God, understand that God has a purpose for the words you're reading. It's not just there to fill a book. Many men use their literary skills to write perhaps a novel or a book, and at times they have to waffle to flesh out the story. God doesn't waffle. The Word of God has a purpose, every single word. Therefore, God has written for our observation the life of this man that is before us, Lot. And regarding Lot, as far as I can see, this was a man, Lot, who was loved of God. As for Lot, although he, in response to God loving him, he loved God, but he struggled. He struggled with sin. He had an unhealthy interest and even lust for the world. And he couldn't shake. And got such a grip on him that it had a massively poor impact upon his life. Now, Lot, who, being a child of God, as I'll prove to you in a minute or two, although falling into deep sin, it did not sever his relationship and the union that he had with God. I want to emphasize that. His sin did not sever the union of God and Lot. But, however, it did disable Lot's ability to enjoy and experience God. That's important to note. It severely disabled his ability to enjoy and to experience the God who loved him and the God who would do him good. And his sin robbed him many a joy and many a blessing. You see, it is possible to grieve God. It is possible to grieve God. And that is what Lot did. So tonight, according to the very purpose of this man's life, what we're going to do is simply observe a backslider. We're observing a backslider because that's why he's put in Scripture, that you and I might be warned. Now we might see what it is to backslide and the consequences of backsliding. Three things I want to leave with you, and the first one is this: the prerequisite to backsliding. The prerequisite to backsliding. What I mean there is something that is required to go beforehand. That's what prerequisite means. Something that goes beforehand. You see, to be a backslider, something has to happen first, namely, your salvation. There is not a backslider in history who was not first of all saved. It is impossible. And so Lot was a man of God. He was saved, to use that terminology. Let me prove that to you right now. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis and the chapter 12, please. Genesis 12 and the verse, well, we'll commence at the verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And this is known
as the time when God intervened in Abraham's life and Abraham left his idolatry. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. That means he departed from his home, from the pagan culture that was there. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance, and so on. See, what you have here is the occasion where God intervenes in Abraham's life. And Abram walks away from his idolatry, sin, and everything else. And look who's with him, Lot. Now, why would Lot leave the comforts and the stability that they clearly had in their home at Haran? Why would he leave? Because he's regenerated. He is leaving the security and stability of his home to go and be a traveler in a place that he does not even know. He's regenerated. He's turning from the idolatry. And he's pursuing after God with a new heart. Let's go to the New Testament for a little moment. 2 Peter, please. Let's go there. Here is a direct reference to Lot. A very instructive one. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to read this with you, so please go there. We'll be here for a little moment or two. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Well, maybe you should read a little bit of that chapter, because chapter 2 begins by talking about the false prophets among the people and their damnable heresies and teachings. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, and they're abusing the system, and so on. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God spared some angels, but damned others. Look at verse 5, and God had spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Here you have the flood. God spares his people and casts judgment upon those who are disobedient. And I want you to see the discernment of God here. He judges every man according to his sin. Verse 6 then. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot. So I want you to see again God's discernment. There will not be one of his children lost, regardless to how wicked the day. God will separate those who love him from those who do not love him. There is no hiding in numbers. God will save his people. They will not be hid. So let's read verse 7. And deliver just Lot. And remember, this is what God says about him. He's just Lot. Verse 7 goes on to say, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them. And the righteous man is Lot. That righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So that's making it very, very clear that Lot was just, he was righteous, and he was vexed by the sins of the people around him. So there's no debate here. Lot is a child of God in glory today. Now, turn with me also to Luke. These are the two passages in the New Testament where the Lord deals with this man, Lot. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, we commence our reading at the verse 28. we are establishing. This man was saved indeed. That's a prerequisite for backsliding. Luke 17, 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And what you have in those couple of verses here before we read any further is the teaching that judgment comes suddenly. The people were drinking and eating and buying and selling and planting and building. And the idea of planting and building emphasized the fact that the people were going nowhere. They were not anticipating judgment. They thought they were fine, living as normal. But that day, God sent judgment. Wasn't expected. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So this is now talking about the second coming. When Christ comes again, it will be unexpected. If he comes in our lifetime, we will be building, we will be planting, eating and drinking. God will come unexpectedly. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. And so this verse is dealing with the return of the Lord. And the Lord says in verse 31, it's like this. He's given a picture. If at the moment the Lord returns, and you're standing on the roof of your house, that's unlikely in our culture. But let's just say you're in the attic, all right, the roof space. And the Lord comes. If you're of the mind of running downstairs and getting something that you want, you can forget about salvation. Because by your actions, you demonstrate that you have something you love more than God. You would turn your back on the coming Messiah to go and get some worldly goods. Let's read the verse 31 again. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And here's the example, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. God commanded Lot and his family to run and don't look back. And she did look back. Why was that? Because there was things she was missing. So on the day of judgment, she looked back and God judged her for her sins. She was not saved because she was not delivered. She died with the ungodly of the day. Her heart was not after God. Her heart was after the world. That's very important to remember here. But as for Lot, unquestionably, he was a man of God, yet a backslider indeed. So let's go back to Genesis now. That's the prerequisite to backsliding. I want to show you now the path to backsliding. How did this man, who was just and righteous, end up a backslider? How did it happen? Well, Scripture lays it out quite clear to us. Let's go back to Genesis 13, please. Genesis 13. And let's read the verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. So here you have Abraham, who wasn't perfect either, who went down into Egypt, and there were problems in Egypt, and he came out with Hagar, and that ended up an awful situation. Nevertheless, here you have Abram, and here you have Lot with them. They're all come out of worldly Egypt. Verse 2. And Abram, this is chapter 13, verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Then read verse 5. And Lot also Now, you need to read the grammar carefully here. Because if there was no full stop at the end of verse 4, we would have a problem. It would read like this: Abraham called on the name of the Lord and Lot also. But the grammar and the layout does not permit that. It says, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, full stop. New subject. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's and Lot's. Now, we just read about Abram here, and the man of God that he was. He called upon the Lord. And then we read about Lot, and it's not so much what's said about Lot, it's what isn't said about Lot. He's not worshipping God. The Lord has brought them out of Egypt. The Lord has blessed Abram and Lot with great material possessions. The difference is this: Abraham's worshipping God. Lot isn't. Here's where the backsliding begins. He's failing in his habitual worship of God. Now go to verse 10. You can see a development in this chapter of his backslidings. Because there was strife, as we just read, between Abram's and Lot's herdmen. And so Abram took the initiative as the man of God and said, let's not have any strife. Lot, you look whatever way you want and you go whatever way you want, I'll go the opposite way. Now, read verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest on to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Now, I want you to understand what's happening here. This is Lot. He lifts his eyes up, and he looks to where the best place would be, and that's where he goes. You might think, what's wrong with that? Several things. First of all, remember this was a row between Abraham and Lot's herdmen. And Lot owes an awful lot to Abram. It was Abram who led him out of the pagan lifestyle that he had. It was Abram's prosperity that Lot, under Abram, prospered to. He owed much to Abram. And here he is now, he lifts up his eyes and he sees the best place. And you would think, out of humble courtesy, he would say to this father-like figure who had done so much for him, Abram, there's the best land, you take it, I'll go the other way. That's not the case. Lot wanted the best ground for himself. He's so now taken up with material prosperity, he wants to keep on flourishing. He wants the best, even at the expense of Abraham, this father-like figure. You can see how the world is getting a grip on this man. Read verse 12. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Here's a little bit more information. Not only is he living in a godless location, the scripture specifically says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And what that means is, you see, if he hated sin, he would maybe live in that area, but he would turn his back on the sins of Sodom. But no, he turns his tent to face Sodom so he could see it. So that would be more convenient that when he's leaving his tent to go into Sodom, it's easy to come back out again. He's just getting closer and closer and closer. He moves into the general district. He pitches his tent toward the sinful cities. Wants to watch it with his eyes. Verse 13. The Bible says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The scripture highlights the vileness of these men. The
Problem is that Lot's attracted to this. Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And this man who loved his material possessions, remember what happened when Sodom was destroyed? Lot had to run. He didn't have his flocks with him. He didn't even have his own wife with him. Lot lost everything.
We'll see a little bit more on that in a minute or two. But we're just seeing this gradual progression into sin and wickedness. Now read verse 18, still in chapter 13, verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Can you see this contrast? Lot is pitching his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, while Abraham is building an altar toward God. Now, the condition of these two men is blinding obvious. One's worshipping God, the other one's pursuing. Well, one's pursuing God, the other one's pursuing the world. And so, there we have the prerequisite to backsliding, the path to backsliding. Let me show you the plight of backsliding. Now, we might be warned to stay away. Let's go to chapter 14 now. This chapter records for us a battle in that day. Verses 1 and 2 lists the kings that were going to go to war and fight with one another. And in verse number 2 there, it says that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Barsha, king of Gomorrah, and the rest of the kings there. There's going to be war. A battle has arisen. And here's the thing. When battle arises, when the problems come, Lot is absolutely useless. He's living in Sodom. And yet it is Sodom that is destroyed. Not destroyed, but they come in and they plunder Sodom and they take everything of Sodom away. These kings came in, they have the victory, and here you have Lot. Not only is Lot absolutely futile, not only is he completely useless, he's actually swept away. When judgment comes, because this was sent of God again, remember God's sovereign, and this battle is sent of the Lord, and here you have this righteous, just man in the middle of it all, couldn't do a thing. Couldn't do a thing to stay God's hand of judgment. He's just like a leaf in the wind, blown along with it. Let me tell you, men and women, the day and age that we live in doesn't need backslidden gods. We live in a day of judgment, and the last thing we need is churches and churches and churches full of lots. Judgment has arrived. We've dealt with that before. Backsliders are useless. Useless to this day and age. Now, I am encouraged because in the middle of this chapter, look at verse 13. Abram comes into view. Chapter 14, verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew. And he's even identified there as being different. He's not a Sodomite. I mean, someone who lives in Sodom. He is not a Gomorrite or any of those other cities. No, he's a Hebrew. He's different. He's a child of God. And here's what's interesting now. Abram single-handedly with his army, let's read verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. So note that. Abram had trained servants. Abram's ready to do battle. He's not a fool. He's a man of God, ready to fight for the Lord. He's trained. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them on to Dan. And it says there that he took
Well, we'll read it. Verse 15. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, and by night, and smote them, and pursued them on to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot, this poor backslidden man, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. You see, what you have here is judgment poured out. And here we have Abram, who now takes the podium with men like Joseph, who when judgment came, God sent Joseph to save his people. He takes the podium with men like Moses, who in Numbers 14, God had sent judgment, but God pardoned the sins of the people because Moses prayed for them. This staying of the hand of judgment. Can you see this theme that we've been noticing even the past few months here? That when God sends judgment, he also sends mercy, sends a savior. You have it again. Judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham is the man playing the part of the Savior because God is a God of mercy. But I want you just to keep an eye on Lot. He has just witnessed judgment. He has been powerless to do anything in the midst of this. So cold was his heart and so far away from God and so unprepared for the battle. And Abram brings him back, delivers him. You would expect now Lot to move in with Abram. Lot goes right back to Sodom. And in many ways, I don't understand that. He has witnessed the judgment of the ungodly, yet he still lives in the midst of it all. Perhaps he couldn't see a way out. So steeped now in sin and iniquity. This has been his lifestyle for so long, he doesn't even see that he's backslidden. He moves right back in again. Not only this man futile, but let me note, we're thinking about the plight of backsliding. He was futile himself. He was powerless to do anything in such a day. But look also at his family. At the end, at the final analysis here, look at Lot's family, his wife, pillar of salt, under the judgment of God, his two daughters. Not read it right now, but Genesis 19, 30-32. Awful sin with their father to continue the father's family. The scripture puts it politely that they go in onto their father. Not exactly the kind of girls any father wants to raise. What about his sons-in-law? All buried in Sodom. What about his neighbors? Covered in ashes. This man had no impact whatsoever on the people nearest and dearest to him. Zero. But look at his contemporary Abraham. What about Abraham's family? Sarah, his wife, woman of God. Isaac, his son. Jacob, his grandson. From them came the tribe of Israel. From them came the Messiah. Can you see the difference here? This contrast between the godly and the backslidden Christian. That's the plight of backsliding men and women. You're futile in the battle. Your family, those who are nearest and dearest to you, will be affected by your poverty of soul. The prerequisite to backsliding must be saved. The path to backsliding, interest in sin. The plight of backsliding, futile, and family could be ruined. I want them to come to a conclusion here tonight. Lot was saved. Lot made a hash of his life. Lot's in glory today, and we're glad of that. But God, in his all-wise will, has recorded for our observation the life of the backslider, that you and I might be warned. Now, living a Christian life will not be a utopia. Being a believer doesn't mean that everything will go swimmingly well. Abram knows that. But let me tell you, for the child of God, your reward awaits. And you've God with you all the way. Yet for the backslider, most miserable they will be of all. You see, we read in 2 Peter, and we'll go there, and that's where we will conclude tonight, 2 Peter. And that chapter 2, it says here in verse 7, "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." I've left that to the end deliberately. Because here's a man, what he pursued was sin. What he pursued was Sodom. And when he got it, he was vexed. That confirms again in passing that he was a believer. Because he was vexed by their sin and by their unrighteousness. It troubled his soul. He didn't enjoy it. The backslider will be vexed, will be genuinely miserable, and everything that they have pursued will be sour in their bellies. The scripture puts it, things can be sweet in the mouth, but once it's swallowed, sour in the belly. And that's the case with the backslider. The things you pursue, you might want, they might look attractive and nice to you. Once you bite them, they'll be like poison to you. Old Lot was vexed. And I hope that maybe even helps you to decide in your own soul if you're a backslider or if you're just not saved at all. You see, if you can live in sin without a second thought, if you can enjoy sin without being vexed at all, well, you're showing all the evidence of someone who is not a new creature in Christ Jesus. You never were born again. You never were given life. The Holy Ghost doesn't dwell within you. The backslider will live in a sin and be miserable the whole time he's there. So for us tonight, child of God, be warned by Lot's life. And be on your guard. And be godly. For those of you who are not saved, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God puts a division between those who love him and those who don't. You're not the judge. I'm sure the people in Sodom, they thought, if we're damned, well, Lot's going to be damned with us. They're not the judge, nor are your friends or your colleagues. God is your judge. He knows who is his and who is not.